Good morning, everybody. Morning. if you could turn with me to a GIC verse, Matthew 6:33. We'll start with that verse first. Matthew 6:33. So Matthew 6:33. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for you, this time with you as well, Lord. We just want to be able to really settle and connect with you this morning and just abide in you for the rest of the day. Would you come speak to us? Lord, would you use me to speak as well, to speak your truth as well as express your heart? We just thank you and we just offer you this time. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So something that's kind of been on my mind is just observation of not just the current gen, but I would say even my gen, maybe even prior gens, I'm not sure. But there's this strong focus on our purpose, right? Thank you, Ben. but it's very strong. Like, we grow up, and whether it be, you know, romantic comedies, movies, even our parents and definitely our friends, this is a strong emphasis on, you know, we're all special, we're all unique, we all have our purpose, and we need to pursue our passions and go for it. Don't live for any other reason than your passions, right? And even now, when I talk to people, it doesn't matter what stage of life, whether it be college, whether it be they're in the meat of their career, or even people like my mom who's retired, right? They're still seeking after their purpose, right? Because I mean, I guess with my mom, I guess if for some people, if you've been working your whole life and then suddenly you retire, it's I know it sounds really good, like rest, but you got to do something, right? So for her, she's like, oh, what's my purpose? So as a result, she started some cafe. Anyway, sorry, tangent. But my point is, as we're looking for that purpose, my observation would be, it seems that no one's actually that satisfied. It's like this new way of thinking of, oh, we gotta find out what we wanna do in life, yet no one's actually satisfied. So actually the title of my EMP today, Ash, is I can't get no satisfaction. It's a Rolling Stone song. But it's so true, right? And even as, I guess, followers of Christ, even Christians, we still go through that. We're still like, God. In the world, we're like, you're just like, oh, what is it that I want to do? So you don't really ask anybody. You're just trying to figure it out. And you're just always thinking about that. But as a Christian, same thing. We're like, God, what is my purpose? What should I do? It's like same issue, right? And I think the core of the issue is because we're asking the wrong question. Because even as, okay, in terms of non-Christian, when you ask, oh, what's my purpose? What we're looking for is satisfaction. We're saying, what will I do that will give me maximum satisfaction? Same thing as a Christ follower. When we say, God, what should I do with my life? What is your will? What we're really asking is, God, what is your will for my life so that I will have maximum satisfaction, right? Because we know in our brain that, like, oh, if I do what God wants for me to do, and his plans are so much greater, then I'll definitely be satisfied. But if you look at the verse, Matthew 6:33, it says, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these will be added unto you." It doesn't say, "Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and your purpose for your own life, then things will be added unto you." And we need to shift from being, you learned this in EG, but we need to have a shift in our mind from being so self-centered, right? And being self-centered is, I know it sounds really negative, but the negative is being selfish. But self-centered is, that's how we are in our flesh, right? Without God, we are self-centered. But we need to shift from self-centered to God-centered. And we need to shift from what exactly satisfies us. Because when we ask that question, oh, even I'm just using as Christians now, God, what is my purpose so that I will be maximally satisfied? Actually, your satisfaction then, because the answer we're looking for is like, I don't know, some sort of relationship, some sort of job, some sort of great experience. I mean, actually, that satisfaction is actually coming from works, right? It's what, basically you're saying, God, what can I actually physically do that you can give me to do that's a God purpose so that I will be satisfied? So that's wrong, because where we get our satisfaction comes is actually just from God. That's it. Our satisfaction comes from being with him, right? And that's why there's verse says, be still. Always asking us to be still. Stop doing so much and know that I'm God. And if you've, hopefully through your quiet time experience, you have had that experience where you're not doing anything and you're just with God and you're abiding in him and fellowshipping, and for the few moments in your life, you're not thinking about the future, you're not thinking about the past, you're not even trying to define what you're feeling right now, but you're just in his presence and you're so satisfied. And then once that happens, where you have your satisfaction in God, then all the purposes are actually a response, right? Like what you do is just a response to God. So your satisfaction level is actually never affected. In Luke 22, verse 42, Luke chapter 20, verse 42, Jesus says, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." So even here, Jesus, he's in the garden of Gethsemane. Thank you. Such a tongue twister. And he knows what's about to transpire. He knows he's going to be crucified. And of course, nobody in their right mind would look forward to it. But yet, in the end, he isn't seeking what satisfies him. Right? What would satisfy him would be, how about just instant ascension right then and there and snap of the finger, done. But instead, he's focused on what the Father wants. And he says, if you're willing, remove this cup from me. So if it's, this is what I want, and if that's also what you want, then okay, take away the suffering. Yet not my will, but yours be done. But he's, and I'm not trying to satisfy myself. I'm trying to satisfy you, God, right? And I think that's how also later, not just the disciples, but even missionaries who experience, you hear these stories of experiencing like crazy persecution, right? And yet they can glorify God. And sometimes we're like, I think in my flesh, I'm thinking, oh yeah, that's maximum glory, because it's like a degree of difficulty. It's like, oh yeah, the greater, and it's true to a certain sense, like, oh, the greater degree of difficulty of the suffering, and yet you can still say that proves you're really loyal. But I think it's not about proving for them. It's just because they're already so satisfied in God, right? Just in His presence, simply. That regardless of what they're doing, whether it's something really fun, or even if their circumstances are really bad, like persecution, they can still, I don't think they enjoy persecution, obviously, but there's such a deep sense of satisfaction in their lives, despite the circumstances, right, that they can still glorify God. And John Piper, he is a pastor in the U.S., and he wrote this book called Desiring God. And he said, this is basically our purpose and what pleases God. He said, God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him. So simple. God is most glorified us when we are most satisfied in Him. And that just sounds like a relationship, right? Like myself and my mom, myself and my wife, I think our relationship is at its best if I'm really enjoying her presence and she is really enjoying my presence. So as Janelle comes up, let me finish with this. It's very simple today. Again, the title was I Get No Satisfaction, but you can. Your satisfaction needs to not come from what we do, and really from God. And I know that we know that in our head and even partially in our hearts, but it sometimes isn't acted out or seen through our actions. There's this monk, it's a French monk, his name is Brother Lawrence, and through his different letters that he wrote, and he was a French monk who, he basically worked at a kitchen and washed dishes and chopped vegetables all day. And he has this book that is widely read and respected, and it's called Practicing the Presence of God. And this is what he had to say. He said, Lord of all pots and pans and things, because that's all he does. He just washes dishes all day and chops up things. He says, make me a saint by getting meals and washing up the plates. We ought to give ourselves up to God, Brother Lawrence taught, with regard both to things temporal and spiritual, and seek our satisfaction only in the fulfilling of His will, whether He lead us by suffering or consolation. So I shared at the beginning, we always ask, God, what is Your will for me? What is Your will? We always ask that. And in experiencing God, one of our main discipleships, we said, oh, that's the wrong question. The right question is, God, what is Your will and how can I join it? Or even another good one would be, rather than just saying, God, what is Your will for my life? You can say, God, what is Your will for my life so that I may serve You or please You, right? It's not about our satisfaction that we're seeking. We're actually seeking God's satisfaction. So as we worship, just as we're about to embark in this fast, and as I shared on Sunday on this fast, let's not just seek answers, but let's seek God, who is the provider of those answers. And in that same way, let's not seek just our purposes and what will satisfy us. Let's seek God, because He's the one who will satisfy you. And then, just as it says in Matthew 6:33, all these things will be added to you, right? That's what we do, are doing in all areas of our life. It will be added and we'll be satisfied. God, even though we know that you're the only one who can satisfy us, and we know that you're the one who gives us our identity and value, and it's not circumstances or people in this world that dictates our value, Lord. Sometimes we do still. And Lord, would you help us, lead us, teach us, and move us to really spend time with you, to abide in you, to settle ourselves, to even persevere in seeking you out when our mind is so distracted and just handling so many different things, that we could just come to experience you and thus really just be satisfied by you. And because of that satisfaction, we can just respond by seeking out your will always and looking to just please you always, Lord. And it doesn't even the value that we put on what we do in terms of even our jobs, Lord. Of course it's important, but I think sometimes the value we put on our careers is maybe too much. Especially in comparison to you, Lord, that we would just really put you at the forefront of our lives, Lord. So we just thank you, Lord. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn to our community focus. If you're in the back and you probably can't see any of those names, you can just pray for anyone you know that you are in relationship with or know of. So the categories are, let's lift up those who are suffering from cancer, those loved ones who are suffering from cancer, who are experiencing chemo and radiation therapy and just the recovery and any sort of surgery recovery. Next, let's cover those who are our loved ones and friends who are sick but also need salvation. Let's pray for opportunities to come and that people would seize those opportunities as well. Let's also cover those who are experiencing infirmities. Next, let's cover the jobs list. Let's pray for those seeking that they would continue to seek after God first and foremost, and then that God would also just move in their circumstances, open up doors, lead them to, a job that would also glorify Him the most. Go to our Wednesday prayers. Let's first do the mission focus. Let's pray for China, our Beijing family, the Chong family, Matt and Nate's parents, as well as Edie Clark, and just all the churches in China right now. Let's pray for the board. Let's cover Pastor Sam, Lisa, Janie, though you can probably take them off because Lisa and Janie are taking their sabbatical. And then there's also Kiwan, Bri, Sandro, Max, and Monica, who's the secretary. Let's pray for just wisdom and discernment in how to handle church affairs. And even though they're, in a position of authority, that they would still be servants first and foremost and really treat their responsibility as board members as servants to the house. Let's pray for the hospitality ministries, Welcoming and Barista. Pray for gift of hospitality for each and everyone, and a real heart to serve as well as connect with people, especially newcomers. Thank you. Let's pray for the men's ministry, which includes the Monday. Well, I guess that's not happening right now. But let's pray for their Pure Desire group, the men's fraternity, women's ministry, and the young men, Yaman, and women's ministry and Yamama as well. Let's lift up house. There's no house church, right? Okay, we can take that off. Okay, Father Lord, we thank you for everything, for you, Lord, and that through Jesus, through your suffering, through that, we no longer have to suffer. Through we have received forgiveness of our sins. We've been restored in our relationship with you. And thus, we can really just no longer suffer, God. And have that satisfaction of just being in intimacy and relationship with you, God. Help us. Sometimes, even though that's what we desire, and even though that's something that we know that we should really seek out, sometimes we don't know how. So just lead us, God, in that. Move us, God, as well. So we just offer this whole day to you, Lord. I just pray that your presence would be so strong today that even as we go about our day, we can always just sense you with us, and that we would be able to hear your voice and your will for us, and that we can just be in relationship just as you desired, God. We thank you, and we just pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So God bless you, and have a great day.